More anointing there, man. More anointing. Okay, cool. All right, guys. Yeah, so I'm really excited to share what God's put in my heart. And I hope you guys are excited to hear what God wants to say through me, through all of us. Eh? It's so exciting being used by God. Eh? I just feel like people are really stepping up, and just encourage you guys in worship. There's so many words. I mean, we couldn't release all the words, but yeah, we didn't trust that God's going to continue even after I share what God's put in my heart, that he's going to continue actually ministering and speaking through us. Eh? It's very cool. All right, so I'm going to speak. If you are taking notes, the title is, and I'm following a little bit from Dill's amazing preaching. It's called Are We Going and Flowing? Are We Going and Flowing? So it's a bit of a cryptic title, but you're going to figure out what it means. I was going to call it Are We Flowing and Going, but I'll switch it around. Are We Going and Flowing? All right. Cool. We'll see where we go. Okay, so Romans, we're going to look at Romans 5:17. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to look up there. If you don't, let's read that together. So it says, "For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" Sure, awesome. Yeah, so I don't know if you guys have noticed, maybe those that are, I'm saying that those are here because it feels like not too many of us that are normally here are here tonight, but have you seen how the Holy Spirit's been pouring himself out and experienced the touch from him? I mean, probably those guys in Stellenbosch, maybe you're also experiencing that, eh? Has the Holy Spirit been moving, pouring himself out? It's awesome, eh? So it's not just happening here in Muizenberg, guys. It's even happening across the Boerewors Jordaan there, Stellenbosch, eh? Okay. So even in that side, Lapa side, there's also the Holy Spirit, eh? Okay. All right, so he's pouring himself out amongst us as a people. It's beautiful. It's probably in different congregations. It's probably across different churches even, eh? The Holy Spirit, like, we're going through turbulent times, man, and we need the empowering of the Spirit. We need the truth of God to be real to us, not just in preaching and teaching and coming to church, but in experience and in our real lives as well. So, like, if that's true, are you experiencing an abundance of the Holy Spirit, of his grace? An abundance of his grace, because that's what it says. Those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, is that something that you can testify and say, hey, there's an abundance of grace in my life right now? Is that true? I'm asking a question. Hey? Is it true? Are you feeling that? It's not something you feel, it's something you're experiencing, an abundance of his grace. Hey? And it's just this word. God's been like putting it in my heart. I showed that video a few weeks ago. It's about the abundance of God. It's something about his character. It speaks about abundance a lot in the Bible. And it's something that I'm experiencing that. I'm starting to see that he's an abundant God. Not just financially. I think we often think abundance means abundance of money, you know. We all need that money, but we don't really need money. You know, we need much more than just money. We need abundant grace, and to see that he's an abundant God, he's this abundant host that loves to he's got more than enough for us, man. More than enough Holy Spirit, more than enough everything, and that grace, it's not just to be something fun and cool for church. It's like, it's something to enable us to be bold for him, to be bold for him, to be like, let's go from this place and go and do something crazy for God, because his grace is upon us. Not just for the sake of being crazy, but I'm just going to share from my heart as well a bit, so just bear with me. I'm going to preach, but I'm also going to, I just want to feel like God just burning in me. But Christianity can get so boring, guys. Like, if we just come to church on a Sunday and a Wednesday and just do meetings and, like, just for the sake of it, you know what I mean? Just like, okay, we've got to tick the box. We better make sure Jules doesn't ask us, like, how are you doing? Because, like, I wasn't there on Sunday or, hey? Hey, guys, I'm looking around at people who have asked this question. No, but seriously, I mean, like, yeah, he's... It's not like we can take this Christianity out just on a Wednesday and a Sunday. It can't just be for special occasions, you know, like you put on your pucky and you come to church and, you know, you look like, or dental look because, you know, you must be here on a Sunday and, yeah, we can't just be that. It's like, oh God, I've just been feeling bored, like in my spirit, like bored. I don't know, just bored. Not bored, like God's been doing it. I'm not being ungrateful, but it feels like there's so much more. Like I feel like something's stirring. There must be more, like we sing that song, there must be more than this. Huh? If there's more, is there more than this? Like, are we just singing that like, oh, there must be more than this? And then we're like, okay. And then you just carry on, you know what I mean? Like, that's lame. I'm not speaking just to the evangelists this evening. I feel God's put something of that in me, but like God's created all of us to be ambassadors for Him. We His ambassadors, guys. Like, do you know what an ambassador is? Have you seen ambassadors' number plates? Have you seen those? Like, it says D, or like there's a German one, it says D. You see them driving like fancy Audi. It's normally like you'll bump into them as you're going past like Bishop's Court, or I mean I've been to some of the ambassadors' house. I've been to like the British Embassy, and it's Lani, guys. It's like they're Lani people. So like we also Lani, actually, hey? We ambassadors not for presidents but for the King of Kings, eh? How awesome is that? Like we should be, maybe we're not driving like a Audi, like S4 whatever sport, but we're driving with the King of Kings, man. We're going through this world, showing people, we're pointing people to this incredible King Jesus. So, yeah, man, like it's a massive privilege, eh? and we've got power, man. We've got those. You think those guys have got power, man? Yes, we've got like their power is like, that's a joke. That's like we've got like serious power here. Like we've got the Holy Spirit power. Like do you understand what that can do? Like it's, yo, when that gets unleashed through us, I mean, God, that's like, eh? Like I mean, what could happen? I mean, like. People could get healed, like crazy. I mean, Lyle testified, eh? Like, I mean, how's your back feeling? Okay, that's awesome, bro. Hey, I mean, this guy, like, what? Just share quickly, bro. Just quickly share.
Tell guys what. I was just that I was in pain since last week Sunday, and then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then I didn't take painkillers or anything like that. So when I came to church, I was still in pain and whatever. And I know it's God because you can't go from such severe pain to all of a sudden being healed. And then the rest of the week, I was just like, the next day, I was like just in awe because, yeah, I was healed.
That's amazing. Yo, hey, how awesome is... Yeah, so it's... And did you get healed, really? Oh, when? Oh, I want to get healed too.
Do you want to share? Okay.
I'm so sorry, I forgot to tell you. I got healed on Wednesday night. So my right, I did something when I was house cleaning on Tuesday. And So Marco got that word, for those of you that were here on Wednesday night, about healing. God wanted to heal. And it was lower back. So I was like, yeah, that's my lower back. And then I went up to the front. And then Marco said, is there anybody with pain on the right side? And I already had my hand on my right side and I was praying. But while Marco and Nushane were praying for me, God actually... I didn't realize this, but I'd been carrying Thorin, my eldest son, as quite a heavy burden. And while they were praying for me, it was almost like the pain was getting worse. And I was like, Lord, you're not, like, why aren't you healing me? And then he said, I want you to give Thorin back to me. And I just broke down with Marco and Nushane. And I gave Thorin back to the Lord there and then. And I still had a bit of pain, but as the next morning I woke up and it was less and less, and it just got less, and now it's gone completely. I have no more pain.
That's amazing. Wow. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Thanks. Yeah, I'm glad you shared it. Okay, thanks. Yeah, it's cool. that's funny. Yo. Okay. But you see, God's at work. That's the cool thing. And he's using different people. And it's not actually us. It's just us making ourselves available. It's not about me praying for Lyle. Because, I mean, if I'm honest, like, part of that is like, I prayed for Lyle. And I was like, I mean, if I'm dead honest, like, I was like, yeah, I see God's like, but I mean, God doesn't often, but I was like, that's wrong, Julian. Like, it's to give him glory. It's that God, that he would go out and actually tell people, you know, Jesus healed me. And yeah, that's what it's about. It's about him getting the shine and hey, it's awesome, man. Yeah, come on. So, so it's actually been a week of a lot of testimonies. Sorry, guys, I just did only put on my timer now. But I'm going to keep it as tight as we can in the space of letting the Holy Spirit move. So we'll just see how it goes tonight. God actually just woke me up. So it's just been this thing of abundance. And then on Monday, I was like, yo, I just saw this guy. We went for a normal coffee at Empire. Shanson and I love going there. And then this guy, Rob Fonsell, I mean, you remember Rob, eh? He's like an old friend from like when I was, I think in our 20s, I think he might have worked with you, yeah? He worked at an agency. Anyway, he was going for a surf and I spotted him and I hadn't seen him for a while. And I was like, yeah, I've got to go and just say, how's it to Rob, man? We haven't chatted. And I could see he's busy getting his board ready and going down. So I ran out the coffee shop and I saw him because I was like, hey, Rob. And he didn't see me. I went to Harvest and I quickly sort of hunted him down. I was like, hey, man, how are you doing? I just went to say, how's it? And yeah, and you know what, he got saved a couple of decades or maybe 15 years ago. He got saved at a Josh Gen, at an event, evangelism event. But he hasn't, as far as I know, he hasn't really followed hard after God. I don't think he's in community. Yeah, I'm not sure where he's at with Jesus, but something in my heart was like, yes, man, I've actually forgotten about this guy. Like, but Jesus hasn't forgotten about him, and he brought him across my path. So I was like, yeah. Immediately I was messaging Gary Schmary, some of you all know Gary, Gary and Jaybay, and I was like, yes, do you know where Rob is? Like, what's happening? Because they were good friends. And I was like, I felt the scripture for him. And he's like, maybe don't send a scripture, but just invite him into family. So I was like, hey, man, like, sent him. We messaged each other late in the day and said, like, come for Brian Saturday. And he didn't, he said he's going overseas, but I was like, suddenly my heart was stirred again. I was like, flip God, like, we're going to, let's connect in November, you know? Let's do it. Let's actually, you're bringing people across my path, not just to say how's it, but to bring into my life and to hopefully get to the point where I can share the good news with him again and challenge him and say, like, Rob, where are you at with Jesus? Like, what if you had to die, like, tomorrow? Like, where's your heart? Where's your soul at with him? And you know what? You might get battered off like 100 times, but actually, you just keep on asking and hounding people. Like, just keep on. Doesn't matter if they bat you off and you invite them for a briar like 20 times. Just keep on. Eventually, they're gonna just actually want to get rid of you and actually just say, you know what? I'll come to your house. don't give up because they're rejecting Christ in you. Often, it's a spiritual fight that we're in here. So. Yeah, man, but I was just stirred up. And then on Tuesday, Dion, he was just sharing with a bunch of us like a bigger, just an apostolic vision for this. So this is just still my introduction, guys. So this apostolic vision for us, like to wake us up in a sense, to go like Musenberg, you guys are doing so well. You're going deeper with each other. The Holy Spirit's moving. But it feels like we should be growing numerically. We should actually, not going after numbers. We're growing in depth. That's good. But we want to be growing in numbers too. We want to be going out of here with that Holy Spirit and saying, God, like bring us people that are not saved. And what are the strategies for us to reach into the communities where we're living right now? Like, that's why we're saying on Monday night, guys, we are going out tomorrow. And that's an opportunity. Like, let's not miss that opportunity to actually bring Jesus and his presence into, like, right here at Checkers. So, yeah, man, so that's, and then that evening, that's when I had that idea. Gabe just said to me, like, he started playing some Shane and Shane, these hymns, and I was like, yeah, that was so powerful. It's like these old hymns that people probably might know if we even sing that in public, like these beautiful, powerful, we're actually singing the word of God, like Psalm 23. Like imagine singing the word of God like in public. Like how much power do you think is going to come like with that song? Like it's God's word and you're declaring it out into a place that, of darkness. Like people, some people might get freaked out. I mean, we might get kicked out of the car park, but but I mean, so what? Then it was worth it. Then we just go somewhere else and get kicked. I mean, I'm not saying we should disobey the law, but like I'm saying, like I mean, the guys did that. The guys did that in Acts 4. Like they were like Peter and John. Dill mentioned it. Acts 4:13. He said they were. They took note of these ordinary men, unschooled ordinary men, because they'd been. Why? Because they'd been with Jesus. And that's the difference, guys, that people are going to see when we're coming there, like, full of Jesus. Like, they're going to, something's going to happen. There's, like, what could happen, you know? So let's come pray it up for tomorrow night, eh? I've got photos of you. Okay. So you better be there. Okay, cool. So that was the introduction. Okay, so I'm just trying to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So the first point is rose-colored spectacles. I said to Dill, I wanted to buy some rose-colored spectacles and put them on while I was preaching and actually preach with them on, but I don't think I need to. But the question I want to ask is, have we taken off those rose? I mean, I can hardly see well without my spectacles, but have we taken off our rose-tinted spectacles? Do you know what the rose-tinted spectacles are? Why are they red? Eh? Do you think we should all be seeing things red? Can you imagine I had red spectacles on now? Because the blood of Jesus is so drenched through how we're seeing things that we're like, yo, I can see that brokenness, I can see that person through like what Jesus has done, through that strong blood of Jesus that's actually come to set them free and heal them and save them. So have we taken them off, guys? Have we taken off those glasses? Are we walking numbly past people in the world? I mean, I'm speaking to myself too, yeah. Like I've been that's what's been bothering me. It's like when last did I lead somebody to Jesus, or did we see somebody get saved here on a Sunday? Or like it's not just about, oh, we bring them to church and then Dill's gonna preach the gospel and then they're gonna get saved. It's like, no, are we actually getting into people's lives to a point where we could actually bring them to Jesus, like introduce them to him? Or are we living in a bubble? Maybe we're living in a bubble. We've allowed, and we're not allowing that pain and brokenness of the world. We're just like trying to protect our hearts, going like, oh God, this world, it's too messed up. It's like how can I, it's easier if I just see people at a distance, and I'm really speaking to myself too. Like we see their name tag there at Checkers and we don't even read their name or call them by their name. People have got names in have you noticed that? Like in a coffee shop or like behind a counter. And the reason they have a name is that Jesus gave them that name. And we can call them by name and say like, hey, like, whoever her name is, like, Jesus loves you, or like just something simple, but just not to see them as part of the landscape. It's easy to see people as part of I call them the landscape people. Have you had that experience? You're walking around, you're just like, you're seeing them, but you're not really like seeing them. And our hearts can get callous, man. And my prayer is that Jesus will break our hearts again for the lost and go like, Lord, what is going to happen? Not that we need to save them, but like we need to be, like, are we even prepared to make a fool of ourselves for Jesus and just let him just love people and get to know them? Okay, so evangelism, guys, don't get freaked out by that word. Okay, it's not a swear word, Christian swear word. And it's not an annual event. It's not something that we're going to go do with Tommy on Tuesday because he's got this radical testimony, guys. You know what? We've all got a radical testimony. Like, I've got I do have a radical testimony, but it's as radical as a good person, like, I won't mention who, but who maybe thought they were born saved. You know, they came to church with their parents. They've like lived a good life, but they were sinners and they were saved. If you stole a pencil, that's hectic. Or you lied to somebody. We were all sinners and we've been saved by the blood of Jesus. So, so it starts with, evangelism starts with realizing who we are. Firstly, we're sinners saved by the blood of Christ, and we are, we're just in the world to make friends with people. Why are we making friends with people? What's the point? To build a bridge, yes. To build a bridge, to drop breadcrumbs on the ground, like Ross Lahana says, he's always dropping breadcrumbs, like little hints, and he's waiting for them, like a little pigeon, to follow you eventually towards a place where you can actually share the good news or love them, not just the good news, but just love them and just have a bri with them and just not see them as a project, but somebody that you love and like you would love to see them not die and go to hell. That's like, basically, that's how I tend to see people. I know it's hectic, but I mean, like, sometimes we need to think like that, because if we're not thinking like that, then we're just going to, like, carry on existing, and then God's going to use somebody else. And we've all got a powerful, we've got a sphere of influence. You guys, each of us here, have got a sphere of influence where only you can connect those people to Jesus in your special way. Like, God's, you're the number one plan. You're the ambassador. You're that, like, ambassador, like, as important as the Dutch or the German ambassador that lives in Constantinburg. He's got the ambassador of Pete in Simonstown. In that road, in Runciman Drive, like, he's put Pete and Shelley there as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Okay, he's got a Subaru. He's got a Subaru, guys. That's an amazing car. exactly. And we're going to change his number plate. We're going to go and write on the ambassador to Simonstown from Jesus, yeah. Okay, so but that's how we should all be thinking, like where we're going as ambassadors into that place. And we're carrying the weight of the gospel over. Once we've built relationship, just get to know people. I'm not saying just go out there. That's why it's scary, because people just think, okay, we're going to go out on Monday night and just like hoy the gospel. We're gonna like turn or burn, my brother. Like we're gonna we're just gonna throw it out like that, you know? But I mean, look, maybe we I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but let's just get to know people and just see where they're at. Just love them. Hey man, is there anything that I can pray for? Maybe you need healing or something like that. Just start with the simple stuff. How can I love that person? Just, hey, is there anything? You know how many people, I've prayed for a lot of people recently, like, just ask them, like, do you need prayer? And so many people need prayer. Hey, guys are lonely and desperate. Financially, they're sickling. People are sick. There's, like, most people, I'd say, like, 80, more than 50% of the people, if you ask that question, they'll say yes. Can I just pray for you? And then we build that bridge. If we've made a connection, let's try to connect with them again, get their number, just follow up with them. Hey, how are you doing? I was thinking of you. Maybe send them a scripture. Just try to connect them into your life. Like if you're doing something, include them in that. I'm just trying to give you practical tips, like how to actually not just do evangelism at an event and get people into your life. So I'm probably just talking a lot of stuff here. But is this making sense so far to what... Okay, it's kind of covering everything that I wanted to say. It's actually getting the point to that point where you can naturally bring Jesus and you can bring that gospel message in and trust God that hopefully they will get saved. You know, they're going to get saved at some point. I've got lots of examples, like doing this, like this week, Jono, Gabe borrowed a board from, sorry, I'm going to get some water. So Gabe's my son. He's not here tonight, but he borrowed a board from a friend, Jono, and I was on my way to the shop, and I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, "You need to phone Jono. Just give him a call." And he's a really busy guy. And he's with his kids and whatever. And I thought, I'll just phone him. And then he actually phoned me back, and we were just talking in the shop, and I was talking for quite a while with him. We were talking about surfing And I thought, ach, on the spur of the moment, let me just invite him. We're doing a braai Saturday, which didn't happen yesterday. We actually braaied on our own, which was sad. But it would have been so much better, like, with some unsaved people there. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't sad, but how much better would it have been with if Jono had come? But I just put the invite out, and I was like, okay, even if he says no, it's cool. He thought about it, but I'm going to ask him again. And I've been seeing this guy, like, trying to suss out where he's at for the last couple of years. I actually messaged him and say, like, I said blessed or something like that. And I was like, I basically shot it straight on a WhatsApp and said, like, where you at with Jesus or whatever. So he knows I'm a Christian now, and he hasn't batted me off. So I was like, cool, I'm going to keep inviting him and just drip feed the guy. Like, just let's keep that door open. But, you know, you get involved in people's lives and use those people with children. That's a secret weapon, eh? Children, they're a massive secret weapon into connections with people. And like Gabe and Thorin, they always bring people in. And like, when they're in your home, like, just like, kids are open book, man. They're like, they're teenagers. It's easy to share the gospel and the love of God. Pray for guys that come into your home. So there's people all over the show, guys. You might need to join a club, or I'm not sure what you're going to do to get into that space, but just where you're finding non-Christian friends. Because I think a lot of our challenge is we get so comfortable here, but we're not actually engaging with the lost, with those people in the world. So can we get into people's lives, like, and start thinking that way? I'm hoping to provoke you to think, like, how do we get into those lives and meet people and read name tags when you're in the shops and just start serving the people that serve us? Start with the lowly people, the blue-collar workers. Those are the people that are desperate. Don't just think the Lani people that live in my road that don't really need Jesus, they've got too much money. Think of the people that are, I'm not saying it's a money thing, but I'm saying just think of everyday people that you come across. It's not always your peers that might not be open to the gospel, eh? Okay, so let's do that. Okay, awesome, guys. So yeah, let's get going with this. So that's the first point. Are we seeing people through those rose-colored spectacles? Are we actually seeing people through the blood of Jesus? All right, and then the second point is, and then then we'll be done with that. I'm not going to say we're going to land, because I'm not landing right yet, but are we going? The second thing is, are we going and flowing? So we're flowing with the Holy Spirit now, but you know when the Holy Spirit really comes is when you actually go into the world, and we go out on a Monday or on a Tuesday, or we're going to start doing it more regularly, go out and trust God to be filled with boldness. So we all know the scripture. We can put it up on the board quick. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19. Okay, remember this one. It says, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I've been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hey? So he said, go. So he's commanding us actually to go and make disciples of nations. He's saying, like, it's a suggestion. He's saying, go, guys, go. And the amazing thing, he says, the Holy Spirit will be with you. In my translation, it says, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hey, how awesome is that? So we don't have to go on our own. We're carrying the Holy Spirit with us as we go. The Holy Spirit fills us, and God gives us boldness when our objective is to obey and glorify him in it. So he's going to fill us when we want to go for him, saying, God, we want to make you famous. Want to make you famous? It's a cool song. We want to make him famous and obey him. We want to obey him and bring him glory when people get saved and when things happen. But we have to follow those nudgings. It's like when God tells me, like, phone Jono or do this or do that. We need to be obedient to those things, because as we're obedient, he's going to add more. He's going to add more. He's going to nudge us again, and we're going to see him move again. And it's not difficult. All it requires is obedience. Okay, and then 2 Corinthians 9:8. You can put that up on the board. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. Hey? So God, that's the cool thing, guys. It's not up to us. God, it's actually God's grace. When we realize that We nothing, and it's all God. Even you might think like I'm an evangelist. I'm not really, but that grace is available to every single one of us to walk in a measure, in an increasing measure of boldness. Okay, so Matthew 25, 29. Oh, this is quite a scary scripture, but it's awesome. To those, I'm going to read just my translation. It says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Yeah, so there is this, there's also this balance of fear, a healthy fear of God, going like, Lord, I don't want you to take away that gift. I don't want to sit here and do nothing with that gift. I want to be faithful and use that gift. I promise you, I was a very broken person. Like the person you see as standing up bold for God is, I wasn't like that. That was, I could have excused myself. I was schizophrenic. I was sick in mental hospitals. I didn't know how to, I was broken. I was really, really broken. But God restored my life. And I'm probably not the most gifted person. I think I've just been faithful with that gift. Just go, God, like use me again and again, and don't give up. Just keep using me. And God he's added more and more and more. And I'm not saying that to blow my own trumpet. I'm saying if we can all be faithful in the measure God's given to us, he will add, he promises he'll add more to you. Hey? He'll add more to you. I was actually so broken yesterday. There was, I was at the BP and there were these four, I just bought my stuff at cab. I bought my food at cab and I bought my briarwood to have my boring briar on my own with Shantz. Sorry, Pete and Shelley, we'll invite you guys again. Because I said, no, I can't briar with him because I need to actually focus on my preach. But anyway, I was there and I thought, let me just check out the price of how much this car wash costs. And these four guys were standing, they were really bored. There was nothing to do. There were no cars to wash. And I was like, I'm a bit pressed for time. I don't think I can get my car washed by you now. I left my wood at the entrance and then I was there and I was just talking to them and I almost left. I was walking out the gate and I thought, no, man, I can't. These guys are just here. Like, let me ask if I can pray for them. These four guys there. So I said, hey, guys, like, I can't support you today and I do a car wash here. I haven't got time, but is there anything I can pray for you guys? And they were like, yeah. Like, we would, like, I'm struggling. The one guy says, I need financial breakthrough. And they all just got together with me and I lay my hands on them in the car, empty car park. And I was like, Jesus, would you just break through financially? Would you bless these guys? Would you pour out your presence upon them? And they, like, it was such an amazing, amazing time. And the one guy just kept saying, his name was Giovanni. He said to me, like, I really, he said, thank you so much. Thank you for praying. He just said, thank you for praying for me. Hey? How many people just, Christians might have gone there? And I'm not saying I was special. I almost bailed on them and just walked out and forgot about them. But I felt, I was broken in my heart. I was like, yes, Lord, I have to listen to what you're saying and do what you're saying, because these people, that, you know, that might forever change. I might never know, but it might change his life forever. It might change and impact his life and his family and his community forever. And how many other people have I just walked past and just not listened to the Holy Spirit, the nudging of the Holy Spirit, like what he wants to do through me, and reach out of my bubble and put those rose-tinted spectacles on and actually see people through the blood of Jesus and what he wants to do. So, yeah, so that is it, guys. That's my conclusion, is that maybe have we forgotten to put on those spectacles, those rose-colored spectacles. Every time we walk out the door, we open the front door of our house and go out, God's called us to be his ambassadors for him. Hey? Every single day. Isn't that an incredible privilege that we get, that he's trusted us to do his job on earth? We're not going to save everyone, but all I'm saying is, can we be obedient to what he wants us to do, our small little part? And we've received God's abundant provision of gift, grace, and the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. So we've got all the tools, guys. There's no archer. I'm sorry to tell you that. but maybe we've shrunk back and we've actually gone like, we've stopped going and flowing in the Holy Spirit. Because when we go into the world, I promise you, the Holy Spirit, do you know how pumped you feel when you've shared the good news or like stepped out in boldness and listened to what God's done? Like this week's been, for me, it's been transforming. I felt like I'm walking on the clouds. But I promise you, this week I've been feeling, I'm so psyched up. I'm like, I want to go out those doors now and take 5 or 10 people with me and let's just go share the gospel or just pray for people and trust. You know what I mean? It's like if you're feeling bored in church, let's come tomorrow night and and then we'll just get out there. And I promise you, it's Gabe, even Gabe, my son's like he's doing it. He's been so frothing. He's actually been like he's been convicting me of like not being bold for him. Like I mean, the other night they went out into a bunch of like guys, Muslim guys were having a, what are they doing? Like checking the full moon. They do that little get together. And him and Benji, yeah, they had a Ramadan thing with the new moon. And they went into that crowd and just started sharing the love of Jesus. Like, I promise you, God's got to pitch up then, eh? They were actually scared. They were like scared. but that's the thing that God will fill us with boldness. And we can just ask him for that boldness. Doesn't matter, you don't know if he's special. You can just be like Peter and John or like Julian Goldswain.